Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us, and it is a viable question. It is a question for each and every one of us. And Father, we ask that by the power of your Spirit that you would speak and that men and flesh would be silent. We ask that you would sanctify us in the truth, because your word is the only truth. We ask it in his name. Amen. So what is the truth? Yeah, Jesus. That's a good answer. You did good. You passed the test. You can go have coffee. But that is a reality that we need to stop and ask ourselves in the world that we live in. And it's been very difficult as a pastor to be able to navigate everything that's taking place right now. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, when we talk about truth, oftentimes truth is what I believe. I have a tendency as a human being to say the worldly truth is as how I see it. And I don't know if you've ever been corrected on that. You know, there's many times, a very simple example, I'll ask my wife what she did with something. And then she'll tell me, well, no, you actually put it away. And I don't believe her until I find it where I put it away. That's happened more than once in my life. I don't know if it's ever happened to you. So my truth actually got changed when I saw the evidence of reality. And so you turn and you look at it, and it's kind of interesting because you stop and you look at it. In the Christian church, Jesus tells us very plainly, never try to predict the end of the world. And human beings always listen to Jesus. They always do what he says. That's not really the truth. We've been playing pin the tail on the end times since the beginning of time. There's no doubt about it. And do you realize that there's been 200 times, really, that we've been recording that human beings have tried to say the world is going to end? 200 times. How many times did it happen? Hasn't taken place yet. You say, well, what does that matter to me? 1800s, it was 19 times that they predicted the end of the world come. This is not even dealing with the 1500s, even way back as 1,000. Just in the 1800s, it was 19 times. I don't know if you noticed or not, but the world didn't end in the 1800s. And so then you look at 1900s, you'd think that we'd get wiser, we'd get smarter, we'd realize that maybe it's just not happening that way, because Jesus told us that this is reserved for the Father. 62 times in the 1900s. I think the Witness Kingdom did it 4 times. 2000s, you'd think that we'd be smart enough to know it's not going to happen with our say, that we can't just sit there, look at a Mayan calendar and say this is going to take place. I always come back to maybe they ran out of room in the cave or maybe the guy just died. 39 times. I'm using this as an earthly example. How oftentimes we have a tendency to come up with these ideas, come up with these lies, and people, now maybe you didn't fall for any of them, but a lot of people do. Tell me how many people swallowed the Kool-Aid with Jim Jones? The reality of it is, human beings oftentimes sit there and dispense information that they really don't have a clue about. Jesus said, this is reserved for the Father. That he himself emptied himself of that privilege. Now, the reality of it is, we do know eventually it'll happen. And the one thing that I think is kind of interesting is when you keep predicting, maybe it'll extend time a little. I don't know, because it's not going to be that day. But the fact of it is, then we turn around, and this is going to be sensitive to some, but we talk about the world basically environmentally melting down. How many times we were told that the polar caps are going to melt away? We were told by mid-2000s that they were going to melt away. And I'm not trying to say we shouldn't care for the earth. That's not my point. Everything goes in cycles. 2 years ago, we thought, oh, we had a tough winter. You know, we didn't. It was pretty mild 2 years ago. But we had snow. Last year was unheard of up here. And we heard all kinds of people talking about, see, this is what's happening. Well, now we don't know what to say this year. Things go in cycles, and we need to be patient, is my point. It's not here to stand for something. It's not here to say that someone's wrong. I'm here to say, in reality, as Christians, we need to always seek for truth. Truth. How do you seek for truth? Well, I think we gotta turn on CNN. Maybe we'll get some truth. And there are people that definitely feel that way. But then you got the other side of the court that says, well, we'll turn on Fox and we'll get the truth. And then we have different people that turn around and say, which I think is pretty admirable, I listen to both and I try to balance them to come up with truth. Human beings aren't so good at truth. We are deceived in the very beginning. God, in reality, has set us upon this earth. He looked at everything. He said it is good. And he was quite satisfied. And he had Adam and Eve sitting there in the garden, and things were going along splendidly. There was beautiful flowers everywhere, probably more magnificent than this, because everything was perfect. Then comes along this little adversary. Adversary comes along, and he does something quite unique. He takes some truth, he mingles it with lies, and then we swallow the pill. See, because he turns around and he asks the question in Genesis, did God say that you cannot eat of every tree in the garden? He knows that God didn't say that. But he's already starting off in this charge of trying to get her to be suspicious about God's intentions. And she goes, no, he didn't say that. He said, actually, we can eat of every tree except this one, the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. Because he said, on the day that we eat it, we actually will die. And the devil turns and looks at her and says, you're not going to die. You're just going to be like a god. Knowing good and evil. And that's a temptation, isn't it? It's a temptation to be as a god. And so he kind of gets her attention, and she looks at the fruit and says, boy, that does look pretty darn good. It's like my wife. I love her to pieces. I really do. But this week she tempted me. I wasn't tempted since January 1st, really, to eat anything really bad. And for some reason, she went, the kids came over, the grandkids, and she got pizza from Papa Murphy's, and she brought home this little thing of cookie dough. I haven't had any ice cream. I haven't had anything. That woman you gave me. I looked at that, and I don't know why. It just kind of called my name, and she caught me yesterday reading the container, and it says, you can eat it raw. I love raw cookie dough. A temptation. When she looked at that fruit, Eve, she saw, oh, this is good for eating because it's going to give me something. And she ate. And then she gave to the man. And he ate. And their eyes were opened. They basically came to the understanding that there is good and bad in this world. The problem that Scripture says is man didn't know how to handle it, didn't know what to do with it. And we turn around in the day and age we live in, and sometimes we separate ourselves in this world from the Scripture, and we try to figure all kinds of things out. And we cannot figure it all out. You cannot take your Scripture, hold strongly to it, but then when it comes to areas of the world events and push it aside and say, we don't need that anymore, I'm going to figure this out. Because we don't know the difference between good and evil. And I think we can all honestly say we live in a time in a world where actually everything feels backwards at times. What we call good is bad. What we call bad is good. And this is the reality of it. We can't know the truth without Christ Jesus. We can't understand who we are as children without the children of God being present. In other words, being in that title. We are the children of God. There are really two forces in this world, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. That is good and evil. And it's amazing, even those that don't say believe in God often believe in the evil side. But the reality of it is that we are asked a question by Pilate. And that question isn't just there for Jesus. Jesus knows what truth is. Pilate is making a statement. When we look into this world, when we see the confusion that's going on, we have to ask ourselves, what is truth? We have a tendency to jump on the bandwagons when someone slanders somebody's name. And as Christians, this should pain us. I'm just as guilty. Do we know the truth? We look on television and we watch all of these politicians slamming each other and we jump on a bandwagon. But do we really know the truth? This is a very interesting time that our nation needs to get back to the heart of prayer, to pray for our leaders, what we see as good, bad, or otherwise. Pray for them, that their eyes can be opened. Because we have a government leader in the scripture looking at Jesus saying, what is the truth? And then he goes out and he says the truth. I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. But what's the reality of that? To the powers that be at that time, it means nothing. Because the ends justifies the means. They want Jesus gone. I find no guilt in him. We live in a world where truth cannot even be questioned. I was watching a C-SPAN interview, 2022. I think it was around July of 2022. Josh Hawley, a senator, was actually talking to a professor. Her last name was Bridges. And basically, they had a conversation about transphobia. And he was asking her a simple question. Can a man get pregnant? And she said, asking that very question makes you transphobic. And he says, what do you mean? And she said, I want you to understand, 1 out of 5 trans people have tried committing suicide. And that is tragic. It's extremely tragic. We would never make fun of that. We don't want any to perish. And you are inciting violence. That's the world we're living in right now. That you can't even ask a question without being pulled aside or separated as inciting violence for asking. And then she turned and asked him, Mr. Hawley, do you believe that a man can get pregnant? And he said, no. It was nice to hear those words. No. I don't believe that. And she said, then you're transphobic. You are the problem. I don't believe that biological men can become pregnant. I don't. But I do think, whether we like it or not, under the Constitution of America, people have a freedom, as long as they're not hurting somebody else, to live their life the way they want to. I may not agree with it. But why, asking a question, does that cause us to be at arms? I think the greater question is not that Josh Hawley asked the question. The greater question is, why is 1 in 5 committing suicide or seeking to commit suicide? That is a tragic, terrible thing. That's the reality. We get fixated on the politics of it and we lose sight of the people. There are people that are hurting and struggling. This is what I mean. I don't say this in reality to cause like people to be stumbling now over the fact that I brought up Josh Hawley and Professor Bridges. What is truth? You can't even state it? As a Christian church, we can state truth. We can state exactly what has taken place, but it gives us no right or no reason to hate or cut off anyone. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. My heart bleeds for the one of five. That they feel there's no other way out of this. And there is a way. It is a restoring relationship with Jesus the Christ, the author and creator, not only of our faith, but our very lives, giving us for who we are, giving us our identity. There's a lot of people in this world that don't have an identity, and we're too afraid to talk about it. But the reality of it is we are children of a king. This is what God has given for us. But we have a tendency to play too many identity politics instead of loving the people in front of us. Everything seems to be an accusation, as my wife would say, and not conversation. Can we not have a conversation? Sometimes I think the conversation, they don't know how to have it, so therefore they shut it down. They shut it down with threats, words such as bigotry, hateful, and things like that. But when is the concern and love for another person that one out of five is seeking to commit suicide, when is that bigotry? There's a serious problem. I don't know, maybe I'm crazy. But what is truth? It's really kind of interesting. In the very opening of the Gospel of John, he shares very much with us what is truth. For the law was given through Moses. The do's and don'ts, we understand, that was given through Moses. And you know, the do's and don'ts, it didn't work out. And that's what we're always arguing lately is what we can do, what we can't do, instead of actually loving those in need, right here, right now. It says, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He came to open our eyes, that we would not look at the problem, but we would look at the person, that we would love the person, that we could encourage the person. We do this quite often, especially, I hate to say it, but you can't, you know, pastors aren't supposed to talk about politics, but in politics, we don't care about the person. We slam them all day long because we care about the politic more than the person. Just amazed at watching what's taking place in this whole situation of Doge. What's wrong with revealing? And I'm saying this as a pastor, what's wrong with it? Now, I'm not saying everything's being done right, and I'm not pretending that I know how to do it. I bet if you talk to any American, any, one-on-one, and said, do you fully trust your government spending the money the right way? I don't think there's an American that would say yes. How do I know? Even the government puts out a report every year stating that there's about $500 billion wasted every year. Now you may say that's peanuts and $36.4 trillion worth of debt. But let me ask you another question. What would $500 billion do for the homeless? What would $500 billion do for the veterans? What would $500 billion do for mental health in America? What is truth? And as Christians, we don't need to be afraid of truth, that we can stand on the truth. For God so loved this world, all of them. Me, you, them, they, he, she, whatever. But what is the truth? We can have laws. We can have rules. That's what John tells us. Moses brought all that, and it didn't work out so well for us because we fell short. Not that there was anything wrong with his law, but that we fell short. So he tells us that grace and truth, unmerited favor, and the revelation of truth, that we are God's children, came through Jesus Christ. We are all his children. There was someone that had made I watched someone that I respect, but he made a statement that, you know, not everybody is God's children. No, all people are God's children. Some of them just don't know it. He created all. Now, the reality of it is we like to decipher that way and say, well, these ones are God's children, but these ones aren't. No, God is God over all. And the sooner one side or the other sees it, the more children he'll have, if you could say it in that way. But anyways, he turns around and he says very plainly in the Gospel of John chapter 8, talking about, once again, this whole aspect of truth, right? And chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. And Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, so his word, once again, is that truth, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are to be found as Christians always in his word. But sometimes his word, now I'm going to be honest, to the flesh is just not good enough. We want to hear other things. We want to be involved in other things. We want to make judgments by other people's statements. But we are to look at each other in the eyes of Jesus Christ. The woman that was caught even in the midst of adultery, where does he sit there and lambaste her? Why does he sit there and actually pound on her and tell her how wrong she is? Everybody else in the community was doing that. They dragged her out of her little intimate moment, dragged her into the public square and threw her in front of Jesus, saying the law of Moses says that we should stone her. What do you say? As Christians, are we concerned about the 1 in 5 that wants to commit suicide? But denying truth won't change that. But loving them and encouraging them in the gospel of Jesus Christ as best as we can, that can change things. Jesus turns around and he looks at the woman caught in adultery and he starts diddling around on the ground, drawing something. I don't know, maybe he was making a SpaceX ship. I don't know. But the fact of it is, to me, he was saying, this is stupid. They don't care about this woman. And so then, he turns around and he says, the first one of you that can say they don't have any sin, cast the first stone. And I love how the scripture says it. It says, from the eldest to the youngest, they walked away. Because I think the more that we actually live life, the more that we actually hear the word, the more we realize we are all sinners in need of grace. In need of grace. Now you can get upset because I brought up the whole Doge thing. That's fine. The reality of it is everybody's screaming that they're unelected. The executive branch has over, 2.2 million people in the executive branch, and only 2 of them are elected. That's a pretty weak argument. Anthony Fauci wasn't elected. What is truth? Stop hearing the naysayers. Stop listening only to your news. Read your scripture, pray, and pray in behalf of those that are trans. Pray in behalf of all those that are gay, those that are straight. Pray in behalf of the Democrats, the Republicans. Pray. Lift these people in prayer. And let's bring it more personally back to us. Pray for those that you don't care for in this congregation. Pray for those that you have suspicions of. Pray for those that you hear ill reports of. Pray. You don't have to go far in this room and probably hear something about me. And I'm not saying anything negative. I'm saying we're human beings fallen by nature. Pray for me. Pray for everyone and ask God that he would reveal. I understand it. We get caught up. We always think someone's worse. There's no one worse and there's no one better than me or you. We are all saved by the grace of God. And if someone is not found in God himself, in other words, found in his saving work, then our problem is not their politics. Our real issue is that there is a soul that needs to be redeemed. Pray. I preach this to you as much as I do to myself because I want to watch something and get very angry. But Jesus says very plainly, in me you have life and you have it abundantly. But living fixated only upon Fox or CNN is not going to give you an abundant life. It's going to give you tremors and fear. Pray. And be patient one with another. Not long ago, probably 5 years ago, so it was a while ago, I had to do a funeral service. And I was asked at this funeral service to do the whole service in agender. No gender. I'm not the brightest unit in the world. I'm not used to that conversation. I'm not. So I asked the family to be patient with me. And when I got up to the funeral, I stated it from the pulpit. I am not used to talking in this language. So if I am expected to have grace for you, I would ask that you would have grace for me. What is the truth? Well, in that small scheme of things, the truth is I'm not used to talking that way. And they were patient. The family was kind. Nobody got upset. It's interesting. People ask me, as a pastor, in fact, it was probably one of the first years I was here, as a pastor, what would happen if you were asked to do a gay marriage? What would I do if I was asked to have a gay marriage? Yeah, I'd tell them straight out, I don't believe in it. Why would you want me to do it? That's the reality. I don't have to sit there and critique them, bash them. I don't believe in it. Why would you want someone who doesn't believe in it to do it? Why do we make everything so difficult? What is truth? It is Jesus Christ and him alone. We need to stay within the function of the church and love and encourage and speak truth. And no, not get angry, not feel like we're being attacked. Now, there is an auspice of attacking out there, but that's from the adversary. We so often take it personal. I'm just as guilty. I struggle with this all the time. But Jesus says, do you not know that we are not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities and powers? It is good versus evil, and we are the children of light. How are we doing with that? Do we love our neighbor? Do we love our parishioners? Do we put a grain of emphasis of good word on somebody? The Gospel of John chapter 14 brings out a very powerful story. And I think this is the absolute truth. And that's more or less where we'll leave this, is in the absolute truth. Jesus is really trying to encourage us in the Gospel of John 14. And he's telling us that don't be worked up. Don't get worked up over everything you see going on. He says, if you believe in God, you believe also in me. In other words, God the Father sent him to encourage us that we would be able to endure whatever we must endure. I am not condoning. I am not accepting hating anybody. There's people that are harder to swallow, but they're still a soul, a creation of God. So Jesus says very plainly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There are not seven paths to heaven. The way to heaven in reality is found through Jesus Christ and him alone, offered by God the Father through the power of his word, by the power of his spirit, and through the redemptive work of his blood. This is something that is so powerful because it says narrow is the path that leads to heaven, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And we take that sometimes to cut people out. That's not what Jesus is saying. There is only one path to heaven, and that is through the resurrection, the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and his blood paying our price. Whether we want to agree with it or not doesn't change it. So it's narrow. But who can go? That's broad. Only those that live like me. It's not what it says. Only those that, you know, do this or do that. That's not what it says. All who believe. That's why Paul says, I preach Jesus Christ to him crucified and know nothing else. These other things that we watch around us, they're important, sure. They can rob, sure. But it doesn't change our proclamation. For God so loves you. He gave his only son for you. That whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but rather that through him all would be saved. What is truth? We have a redemption that our human minds cannot even understand. We have grace given to us that oftentimes we feel unworthy of. And it didn't stop Christ. Even when he was hanging on that cross, there was every different personality, everything standing before him at that cross scene. Some that probably were feeling bad but didn't dare to say anything. Some that thought it was a big joke and laughed about it and gambled away his clothes. Some that wanted to see him do funny things. Some that said, why don't you make some doggone miracles and pull yourself down? There were people of all different demographics there. There was probably gay people. There was probably trans. There was probably Republicans. There was probably Democrats. There was probably all of them standing before the throne of God. The cross of God, I mean. Making fun. And what does Jesus say? Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. That is our God. Yeah, we see things that we don't like and we can stand on truth. Yes, we live in a nation where we've been born into this, where we can vote and we can do all kinds of things, but it never takes our eyes off of the end game, the salvation of each and every person before us. What is truth? It's not the adversary whispering in this ear. It's not the politician whispering in this ear. It's not the car salesman whispering in the other ear. It's not the contractor telling you that basement will never leak. The truth is Jesus Christ and him crucified. God loves you. He desires for restoration. No matter who you are, no matter what your preferences may be, God is calling you to see his son, Jesus the Christ. I was a piece of work before I knew Jesus. I tried to change my life physically many different ways. And you know what? I failed at every one of them. But in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, by the grace through faith that he has given me, I've been able to make these changes in my life. I would rather say he changed my life. We need to stop going out there thinking everybody's got to conform to me and preach the word and allow the word to conform each and every one of us to the image of his son. What is truth? Truth is, God loves you. And he gave his life for you. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to speak about your truth. And yes, Father, maybe we touch on areas of this earthly life, but even Karl Barth, great theologian, even said, Father, when we study for a message, Father, we should have a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. And too many times, Father, we remain silent on the things going on around us. So we pray, Father, by the inspiration of your Spirit, that we would be able to discern and be able to speak the realities of life, but with the hope of heaven. We thank you for all things, but most of all, that gift of life. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Judy and I will be heading right out. We got to go to Bruce Crossing. So I'm not